You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The impacts of transport challenges on disabled people's lives can be devastating, a recently published research report shows. The research was a collaboration between the Disabled Persons Assembly and transport consultants and sought to illustrate the impact that a lack of access to reliable transport, if any transport at all, has on Aotearoa's disabled community. To get some insight into the report, I spoke to the DPA's policy advisor, Paul Brown.
The lack of access to transport for disabled people is a huge issue, and the report that we did for Waka Kotahi last year, and we as DPA, Disabled Persons Assembly, and transport consultants MR Cagney, really, in one sense, didn't pick up a lot of new stuff. Some of us kind of knew most of it, but it's put it together and brought those stories together, and the impact of lack of access to transport is huge. It has an impact on whether people can work or not, whether they get to school, whether they make medical appointments, whether they can go and have a coffee with their mates or go to the park. Just involvement in all areas of kind of life involve transport.
And the report discusses in length the Total Mobility Scheme. Could you just give a little explainer on what this is and what some of the pros and cons of the scheme are?
Yeah, so the Total Mobility Scheme is subsidised transport for disabled people in recognition that some people have issues using what we normally think of as public transport, buses, trains, ferries, and it gives some, in some places it gives a subsidy on these, so it reduces the fare. But it's mostly used for disabled people to take taxis. And it does reduce the cost of a taxi fare from the full fare. But disabled people told us, while they were very pleased to have the reduction, that it wasn't enough. And they were still deciding which trips each week to take and which not to take. So is my medical appointment more important than my hair appointment, for example? And you might get argued, you know, one level that's pretty clear, but at another level, you may want to, you know, that's the things that disabled people are weighing up. But also, it pays for adaptations to wheelchair-accessible taxis, and this is a huge issue. The lack of wheelchair-accessible taxis was seen as a really big issue by the people who responded to the research, and we had over 15,000 people fill in the survey. We talked to about 150 disabled people at HUI, and we talked to providers, and everyone agreed that the lack of wheelchair-accessible taxis was huge. And in itself, that so we heard stories about people having to book like a fortnight in advance. We heard stories of people not being able to basically go out their house unless they left really early between school pickup time, because all the wheelchair-accessible taxis were busy. We don't have, despite the contracts that say they need to have a 24/7 service, that isn't really the case. Even in big taxi firms, we know that the people who drive the wheelchair taxis need to have breaks at times, and it doesn't seem to be sorted out that anyone else, another driver, takes on that cab. So we know that there's a huge lack of wheelchair-accessible taxis, that disabled people can't get them or have to book them well in advance, and that's a real issue. Whether you're using a small, if you like, boutique specialist disability taxi firm, or whether you're using one of the big companies, there is a real problem. You can't just ring up and get a wheelchair-accessible taxi. And I say, we heard stories about people who, young people out for a drink and needing to get home and not able to, and having to wheel themselves home. People having to, you know, decide what time they're going to leave a party before they even get there in order to get home. And in my own workplace at DPA, a couple of years ago now, we organised a staff get-together training. But we thought we'd have a meal the night before in central Wellington, and we tried to book two wheelchair-accessible taxis, and we had to have our dinner at 6 o'clock. And those people who needed the wheelchair-accessible taxi had to leave at 8, so missed out on the socialising and all that's involved there. And these stories are repeated again and again in the research.
Yeah, and in the report, the most common challenge mentioned by respondents was using buses. What are some of the contributing factors to this being such a common challenge for disabled people?
Buses are a biggie, so there's a number of problems. So there's issues for some disabled people actually about finding out about information about buses, their times and their routes and all of that, because of lack of access, say for blind people, if things aren't screen reader friendly that they can use their computers for, etc. There's issues about getting to the bus stop, whether that's distance from your house or whether it's just really poor footpaths or street furniture or whatever. Then you've got the issue for some disabled people of knowing what bus is coming. I'm a blind person and I just stand at the bus stop and stop every bus. And if it's the wrong one, I just say, sorry, you know, I've no way of knowing which actual bus is coming. Then you've got the issue of getting on the bus, and particularly then for wheelchair users, is whether, you know, the bus is pulled in sufficiently to the stop for the bus to kneel, or whether there are other issues about getting on, whether the driver needs to come and do the ramps, and whether that driver knows how to operate the ramps properly, or, you know, whether whether the bus is a bit late and so the driver's a bit grumpy and because he's getting hassled to be on time and isn't as, you know, doesn't give as much explanation or time to let the disabled person on about the ramp. There's issues for blind people of buses all being different, and so, you know, I've nearly sat on someone's knee before on a couple of occasions because I thought the bus had a different layout to the one it had. Maybe not major for me, but an embarrassment, you know. And then there's the issue of buses taking off before people are sitting down. Issues of, in most places in New Zealand, not having announcements of next stops. So, you know, having to really concentrate on where you want to get off or hope the driver remembers to tell you it's your stop. So buses pose some real issues for lots of the different disabled people.
Do you think that disabled people have been neglected in the design of New Zealand's transport systems and policies?
The short answer is yes. I think, absolutely, I think that our standards are behind the times. I think that transport is a system that's not very well joined up. You know, who's responsible for a whole journey? It may be somebody different for the issues with your footpath, to the issues with your bus, to the issues with the train and the taxis and so on. I think that while total mobility was seen as a good thing by some people because it reduced the fare, it is an acceptance that for people who should be able to use buses, and that's not everyone, it is an acceptance that they don't work and that they're not fully accessible. So yeah, I think disabled people have been missed out and not planned for, ignored, all over the place, and I think this report shows the impact of that, and I don't think we've really fully grappled with that before, that impact, that total impact of that lack of access to transport and the impact it has on the whole of life for disabled people.
That was Paul Brown, Policy Advisor for the Disabled Persons Assembly.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.